This is Fresh Air on WHYY FM in Philadelphia. And with me is one of the people who you just heard from in the preceding documentary. Our phones are now open for your questions and comments at 923-2774. My guest is Shamsuddin Ali, the imam or spiritual leader of the Philadelphia Mosque of the American Muslim Mission. The American Muslim Mission has four mosques in Philadelphia, including the Sister Clara Muhammad School, which extends from kindergarten through 12th grade. We invite you to call with any questions or comments provoked by the documentary that you just heard. Our phone number again for your questions is 923-2774, and we're at area code 215. Our series on This Side of Paradise concludes next Tuesday at 4 o'clock, when the subject will be singing a new song, The Catholic Left. After the documentary, we'll be joined for a follow-up discussion by Father Michael Doyle, a social activist priest who has a parish in Camden, and Joan Bauer, who was a nun but left because she didn't think the convent was active enough in social issues. She later left the church in frustration over their conservatism on women's issues. Cassettes of these documentaries will soon be available through Temple University. For more information, you can call 787-8265. Again, for more information about cassettes of the series, 787-8265. Our phone number for your questions and comments on the air is 923-2774. Welcome to Fresh Air, Imam Ali.
Thank you very much.
I'd like to ask you before we get to our first phone call how you became a Muslim. I know you were brought up in a Christian family.
Yes. Actually, becoming a Muslim was rather easy by the fact that I had grown up as a Christian, had attended church very frequently. In fact, all the time. I attended Sunday school and then follow-up church every Sunday. My mother insisted on that. So I had a religious interest, and I think religious interest really actually stimulated me to be a Muslim. I think that first hearing about Islam probably made me a better Christian first. And then I ventured further to learn more about religion and the significance of religion as it should be to the human being's life, and that's what really actually brought me into the religion of Al-Islam.
How were you introduced to it?
Well, actually, introduction was more or less made by someone mentioning the religion to me, which I had no knowledge of, and then them mentioning it, and by fact that they did mention it, I went to attend, and I did attend, a mosque over on Lancaster Avenue. This is some years ago, a number of years ago. And at that time, it was a man by the name of Nasser Ahmed there as the imam. And he was a very, very conscientious, very sincere person. And I used to talk with him every now and then, and that brought an interest to me for the religion.
Well, let's take our first phone call. And my guest is Imam Ali, who is the spiritual leader of the Philadelphia Mosque of the American Muslim Mission. And again, our phone number for your questions is 923-2774. Hi, this is Fresh Air, and you're on the air.
Hello. Hello, is I'm on the air?
Yes, you are.
Yes. As a Jew, I rediscovered my own religion about 4 years ago, and it was a joy to me. I had never been religious, and I had rediscovered it and began to go to synagogue and live my life as a Jew. And at the same time, I met some Muslim friends and discovered, to my amazement, how close and how similar and how as the Muslim and Jewish religions are, and it was a joy to me because I grew up, Muslims and were anathema when I grew up, and it was a joy to me, and the pain, that was the joy, and it continues to be a joy. The pain is that we don't, Jews and Muslims, that anybody hurts each other is a pain, but certainly, you know, that Jews and Muslims continue not to understand each other, and we do on an individual basis, but we're not given enough chance to, and so that's basically what I want to say. And I just, it was just an incredible joy to me to discover Muslim friends and to discover that we not only talked about the same God, but in the same way. And my pain is that there's not enough of that.
Do you want to comment on that?
Yes, you're indeed a credit to humanity. We certainly appreciate your comments. You're exactly right. They need to spend more time simply understanding each other because it does hurt to see the kind of strife and harm that they're doing to each other.
Do you feel the connection between Islam and Judaism that our listener commented on?
Yes, I think that identity is there with all religions, but certainly with the Jewish and Islamic faith. They're very close, and in fact, you'll find a lot of the principles in with the Jewish and Islamic faith to be quite similar.
Thank you for your phone call. And our number for any questions or comments, 923-2774. Hi, this is Fresh Air, and you're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon. Thank you for these episodes. I wanted to mention that. And good afternoon to your guest. I am a black grandmother. I always like to say that before I make a statement, because I think some people think I'm a wild-eyed radical. First, I would like to compliment the Nation of Islam. They're the only religious body or any other body that I have seen in this country that has had a dynamic, positive force on young black America. But I'm a little puzzled by the patriotism that I hear coming out of some factions of Islam today. And I know, first of all, I'm an agnostic. So I think everybody uses their religion to suit their own purpose. And I keep referring to an article when I hear Wallace D. Muhammad proclaim his patriotism, damning communists, just buying the whole Cold War bit. And it's from the book The Covenant. And it tells about a faithful old ex-black Zulu fighter who stands beside his South African master in the war with England. And he observes. He doesn't fight. You know, he's the carrier of buckets of water loading up ammunition. And as he observes, and this wasn't unique in this war, he's hoping that his master will win. But what he intends to do and pass down to his children is that when this war is over and the games are ended and the mighty guns are silenced, the real struggle will begin. And it will not be Englishmen against Boer. It will be white man against black. And I hope they take this into consideration. And thank you for the program.
Thanks for your call. Would you like to comment on our listeners'
comments? Yes. I think that I'd first like to say that I believe I understand what she's saying, and I believe that my heart holds great sympathy for the things that she's considering. At the same time, I would like to state that our patriotism is really something that's very important to us and very important to America. It's very important to our foreparents, because we recognize and we understand that in order to reorder the situation that we are finding ourselves in today, we must retrieve the best from an earlier time, as well as identify that it is the best presently. In an earlier time, we'd have to conclude that our foreparents were nothing but basically what we find in and all of the human beings possess it, their human life. So therefore, when they were here in 1776, they were having and holding aspirations for freedom and things of that nature, just as other people in the 13 colonies. But they were not at that time permitted to speak about it, nor were they asked, and they did not have an opportunity to take advantage of the freedom that was achieved by the 13 colonies by their severance of the British hold on them. So what we had to remember is patriotism itself at this point is an illustration of showing the sincere dedication and the revival of a spirit that once was not allowed to be heard, therefore considered to be dead. If we are Americans in the true sense of what our foreparents aspired to, then certainly patriotism would be something countable for us. But we'll have to understand, and I hope that she'll get closer to us so that she'll get more information about that.
Let's take another phone call. Hi, this is Fresh Air, and you're on the air.
Hi, let me first state my biases. I'm a secular humanist, and I see most of the major religions of the world as being sexist. Okay, now, going from there, I'd like to know why, and I have been affiliated with our people, especially in the West Philadelphia area. I kind of lived in the Arab community for a couple of years. I'd like to know why the assumption is made that a woman's body tempts men, but that a man's body does not tempt women. Because they don't have to cover up like the women have to cover up.
Well, I wouldn't say that the man's body doesn't tempt women. I don't know. I wouldn't be able to say that. But
their hair isn't covered. Their face isn't covered. They don't have to wear skirts down to the ground. When a man wears pants, you can see the outlines of his body. Without a veil, you can see his face. Without something covering the hair, you can see his hair.
Well, what I was preparing to say to you, I'm not saying that men do not tempt women, and I do think that it's probably overwhelmingly agreed that women most certainly are more tempting to men than men are to them. At least the women seem to exercise more of an intelligent restraint in their sexual behavior than men in our society we call Western society. I agree that they should be covered properly and both should be dressed modest, and I think that that is better for all. And what you see in the religion of Al-Islam is an attempt to really actually make the contributions as proper for the whole humanity, irregardless of the kind of responsibility it brings to us as individuals who are presently aware and conscious of our responsibility. We have to make it for the benefit of humanity. So therefore, we intend nothing but good for everyone that's involved.
But that doesn't answer my question.
Certainly, we are not. What I'm saying to you is that we do not subject women to anything and make them go against their will. The women in Al-Islam have an understanding, just as the men have an understanding, and they accept the responsibility. It's willful. It is not by force.
Oh, you mean women, to be members in good standing of Al-Islam, do not have to dress like that?
No, I'm saying women who want to actually perform the responsibility that's upon them as Muslim women for the whole of humanity, they would and they do accept to dress modestly and to dress as you see them.
But what about the men? Now, are they not performing the responsibility by not covering up all the way?
Actually, you're not required to cover your face. I mean, you're required to cover your body, but not your face. Your hands and your face and your feet can very well be out. There may be some traditions that have been picked up really not so much from the religion as from other cultures, really, that really actually advocate the covering of the face. But that's not something that's really advocated or placed upon the women in the Quran.
What about covering the hair? Is that mentioned in the Quran?
Covering their hair is certainly mentioned, yes.
Thank you very much for your call. Our listener said that she is not religious herself and thinks of the religions of the world as being mostly sexist.
Mm-hmm.
Is that an issue for the people who are Muslims? I mean, would you consider what she was saying to be a sign of sexism? And is that an issue
No.
that you'd think about?
No, ma'am, it's not an issue because, see, what we actually do is we live as Dr. Faruqi said in the documentation. He said something in regards to the universality of the religion. And certainly we have to see the universality clearly by the laws that are universally known for the by all of us. So therefore, family structure, male and female, these things are already designed by the creator of all of us. So do we know the woman is the woman, the man is the man, and from the two of them in union, we have offspring and continuation of humanity. So respectfully, we try to live within those laws to the best of our knowledge. And the best knowledge for human society, of course, is that knowledge that was revealed scripture to prophets. And so the Quran is what we follow, and we find it being no different in its clear illustration of the responsible truths that we have to hurt ourselves to in the Quran, and it is in other clear scripture, a scripture that has not been tampered with.
Let's take another phone call. Hi, this is Fresh Air, and you're on the air.
Hi, I just wanted to commend our Shamsuddin Ali and the Nation of Islam on American Muslim Mission. I've heard of the great work that Shamsuddin was doing for, you know, for he's going to the prisons and visiting the inmates and, you know, just talking to them and everything. It just really enlightened me to, you know, see that being behind the fact that my father is, you know, unfortunately in one of those institutions. And I just want to commend him and say he's doing a great job for the Nation of Islam and, you know, tell him to keep up the good work. And I would like to be there one day to, you know, just to be there to, you know, see how he operates.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your call.
Thank you for your call. Our number, if you have any questions or comments, is 923-2774, or at area code 215. From 4 to 4:30 today, we heard a documentary called In the Name of Allah, American Muslims. And with me is one of the people who spoke on that documentary, Imam Ali, who is the spiritual leader of the Philadelphia Mosque of the American Muslim Mission. And our number again for your questions, 923-2774. Hello, this is Fresh Air, and you're on the air.
Thank you. I consider myself to be a Christian and a woman, and as such, I am told I have a soul. It seems to me the Muslim religion teaches definitely a male sexist religion because it teaches that women do not have souls, only men have souls. And that being the case, why should any woman want to become a Muslim?
Well, my sister, I can't for the world imagine where you got that kind of situation in your mind. When you say, I think we all, and I think we all agree, we all have souls. We're not our own creator. We didn't create ourselves, and we're all really just one expression of a life. And when that one expression of life continues, it continues by the way of a relationship between male and female. I'm not saying that women don't have souls. I think it would be ridiculous for us to even think that.
Thank you very much for your call. Hi, this is Fresh Air, and you're on the air.
Hello. The first part of my question is as follows. I belong to two churches, and the churches, see, they don't treat me like a person because I'm handicapped, right? They treat me as if I wasn't there. And the second part of my question is, how many Jewish people join the Muslims?
Well, I don't know how many Jewish people join. I know that people from all various nationalities do join in the religion of Al-Islam. And I do hope and pray that whatever churches you attend, that they will quickly assume their responsibility and not treat you as anything other than a human being needing and desiring and deserving the assistance of all of us.
Thank you for your phone call. Hi, this is Fresh Air, and you're on the air, and we're getting close to the end of the show, so I'll ask you to keep it brief.
Who has lived in both Iran and Indonesia, one country being Sunni and the other Shiite, I'd like to ask just how you feel about the present behavior of Shiite Islam in Iran and the attitude toward America. Do you think that the venomous point of view is really justified?
I believe that any spelling out of people's emotions to the extent that they cannot get a hearing eventually becomes a bother to all of us. I think that when we look at Iran, we're looking at a very, very serious situation by fact of their experiences under the Shah and the way that they have actually had to go about
Don't you think that this it goes against Islamic teaching, the intense antagonism toward people of different views and the murder of people with whom they don't agree?
Well, there's a lot of opinions that I'm not totally aware of and therefore cannot give any real statement of whether or not those things are true. I don't know whether they are true or not, but I know that Islam doesn't advocate and I know that they are Muslims.
Thank you for your call. Hi, this is Fresh Air, and you're on the air, and please keep your question brief.
And I would like to say for the people that are curious in terms of the Muslim dress for men and women, first of all, men are clothed in their fashion, and it is modest, covering their pants do usually come down to the ankles as the requirement with a Muslim woman. But for those that have curiosity and really are speaking from no knowledge of personal knowledge, they ought to just go out to the masjid and see just what things are about before they form opinions and make judgments.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for your call. Regret that that's all the time we'll have for phone calls this afternoon. There's one last question I'd like to ask you. As you told us, you were raised in a Christian family and are now a Muslim. I think that there are probably many people from families like yours whose parents were or still are Christians and they have become Muslims and their children are being brought up in a Muslim home. Do you think that that divides black families where that happens, where one generation is Christian and the other generation Muslim? Or is that just an accepted part of life now?
I don't think it divides them. As earlier stated, upon hearing the religion of Al-Islam, I believe, and my recollection serves me quite clearly on that, I became a better Christian first because it made me more conscious of religious responsibility, and it also gave me a greater insight into what would be actually my responsibility as a person having a religion. So I think that what we're witnessing now, particularly under the leadership of Imam Warfdi Muhammad, who has brought about the clear understanding of the religion of Al-Islam for the once nation of Islam, the families are strengthened, I think. I would have to say they're strengthened.
I want to thank you very much for speaking with us and for responding to questions from our listeners. I want to thank our listeners as well for calling in with their questions and comments. And with me has been Shamsuddin Ali, who is the imam or spiritual leader of the Philadelphia Mosque of the American Muslim Mission. Our discussion was preceded by a half-hour documentary titled In the Name of Allah, American Muslims. Our four-part series, On This Side of Paradise, A Look at American Religions, concludes next Tuesday at 4 o'clock when the subject will be Singing a New Song, The Catholic Left. We'll be joined for a follow-up discussion by Father Michael Doyle, a social activist priest who has a parish in Camden, and Joan Bauer, who was a nun but left the convent because she didn't think it was active enough in social issues. She later left the church in frustration over their conservatism on women's issues. Cassettes of the series On This Side of Paradise will soon be available through Temple University. For more information about cassette transcripts, you can call 787-8265. That's 787-8265. The documentaries that we're listening to were produced by Maeve McGoran at WHYY-FM with project directors Ellen Cherry and Tony Mateo of Temple University's Religion Department.